Hi everyone, this is Denny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this next song.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know my Redeemer.
Very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory.
Listening to a live broadcast of the Looking Up show again. My name is Sharissa and I'm joined in studio by Danny today. How are you?
I'm very well, praising the Lord and happy to be back here in our studio.
Amen. Me too. We were away. Well, you were still here last week for our listeners, but we were all on a different location for our big camp here in, where was it? Stewart's Point.
Stewart's Point there on the mid-north coast.
Yeah, it was a beautiful time we had. The weather was
spectacular. At our big camp, at our annual big camp event.
We were 2,000 plus people.
Yeah, it was about 2,500 to 3,000 on site and, right, and a few others that came in.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah, it was wonderful, wonderful.
And our wonderful producer is not with us today, unfortunately. Rochelle couldn't be here joining us as well.
And we're praising the Lord that Sharissa is with us because it is Sharissa that you are listening to.
I sound a little different.
Yes, the commitment of this woman. She's like come out of intensive care. with a terrible man cough, man flu. No, but she's here. No, she's a bit under the weather, but she made it today because she couldn't trust me with the.
It'd be monologue.
It'd be monologue. It'd be a disaster. It'd be the worst show ever.
Well, I don't know about that. But yeah, we got back from big camp in our home and I went down first and I think the rest of the family's following me. So,
oh, wow.
But it was a great camp, wasn't it?
It was a great camp. It was a great camp.
We had a good time with everyone, with the weather, with the messages. We had Eric Walsh on our program last week.
We did. Yeah, it was great to have Dr. Eric Walsh just share his insights from an American point of view. Like, he lives there. He's based in Texas at the moment. And so, yeah, that was a really interesting program.
Yeah, I see. I've been looking at the comments here and I see we had some good feedback as well. So that's exciting.
Oh, from last week?
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
So I guess we're here for another week. There's lots going on in the world. Obviously, we'll unpack some of that as it relates to Bible prophecy. Mm-hmm. But what can our listeners look forward to today?
Yeah, well, apart from that, we will continue our journey through the great controversy. Mm-hmm. And this book is just so applicable, so relevant for our day and age. And it really is a blessing to be able to go through that. And we are up to chapter 10 today.
Wow.
And it's a really fascinating chapter because there are so many end time lessons that we can learn from. We can learn from every single one of those 42 chapters in this book. And this is no different. So yeah, we're going to be taking a look at Martin Luther once again, and the chapter 10, in case people want to prepare themselves for that and grab your own great controversy, Progress of Reform in Germany. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a look at, how the Reformation progressed and how the enemy tried to stop the Reformation from progressing. So
it's a fascinating
chapter, yeah. So we're going to look at that towards the back end of our show.
Fantastic. So you probably have a shout out.
I do. I bumped into many people there at Big Camp who listen to Faith FM and a number of them, who enjoy listening to the Looking Up show, which is great. We, of course, had as part of our Big Camp appeal offering, we had the short testimony of our friend Jeff.
Yes.
Jeff Cox. So that was shared and showed as part of as part of the ministry of Faith FM, and that was a real blessing. So, God willing, one day we'll get Jeff to come and share his testimony on air in full.
That would be very exciting to have.
That will be exciting to have. So we'll do that one of these days. But we will, as far as shout-outs go, we've got David, our friend David Edgar. From WA. Good old faithful David. So he had a new birth in his family.
Wow.
I think one of his daughters had a baby. So
granddaughter, that's exciting.
So he's got another granddaughter, I think. So you can text me, David, or you can text our line. What's our number?
Yeah, our number is 0488-17624 is the number to reach us on here in studio today.
So clarify for us, Dave, what you have. So
that's exciting.
And also I bumped into one of the cooks there at the big camp, and his name is Gary from Coffs Harbour. He drives a bus and a school bus, and he said he's fortunate that he is able to listen to the Looking Up show as he's driving the bus.
God bless you, Gary.
So if you're listening right now, Gary, big shout out to you, mate.
Thank you for the food.
Oh, yeah, the food was amazing.
The food was good.
It was pretty good. So I ate way more than I normally do at home. But it was good. It was three proper meals a day.
Yeah, we were well fed, that's for sure.
So that was good. What about you? Did you bump into anyone?
I bumped into so many people and I can't remember any specific shout out. Sorry if I met you and we talked about this. But I do want to share an exciting testimony.
And
maybe this person is listening and I don't even know their name. But apparently while we were up there at Stewart's Point, we heard that there was a listener who was tuning into Faith FM last week, I believe the day before on Friday, and they just was tuned into Faith FM, listened for a couple of hours, loved what they were hearing on this channel, and showed up at a Seventh-day Adventist church, our Seventh-day Adventist church, the next day.
In Hamilton. How exciting.
So that was really exciting. And we pray that God will direct more and more people to this channel so they too can be excited about the wonderful Everlasting Gospel. We're going to listen now to For Him, Be Thou My Vision, and then we'll continue with so much more right after that. Be Thou My Vision, and you're listening to The Looking Up Show. We are so glad that you're here, and we should let everybody know there is a giveaway with today's broadcast. In fact, Rochelle set this up for us, so thank you, Rochelle. And she says there is an unlimited number for us today,
which Rochelle.
Means everyone can be a winner. The giveaway is a book by Ron Cluzet. Did I say his last name?
Yeah, Ron Cluzet, yes.
Okay. Decoding Bible Prophecy. That's what it's called, little booklet there. This is an age of uncertainty, major natural disasters in country after country, an uncertain global economy and political upheaval everywhere tells thinking persons that something major is on the horizon, doesn't it ever? Mm. The Bible says in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants the prophets. This book is about understanding what those Bible prophets said, especially apocalyptic prophets such as Daniel and John the Revelator. It is about knowing how to read those prophecies and make sense of some difficult passages in the Bible. So this sounds like a really great little book you will want to get your hands on. And if not for you, maybe you know someone who would be interested. I know there's a lot of people looking at what's happening in the world and wondering, how do we make sense of all of this? Does the Bible help us? And of course, this book would help join those dots. So if you're interested, keep listening. Keep this number handy, 0488 17624. And in our next segment, we'll give the code word away.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, great little book, because Bible prophecy is fulfilling before our very eyes. And so a lot of people are wondering, well, what do I believe? What is prophetic and what isn't? Mm-hmm. And so this little book will really, really help you decoding Bible prophecy. We'd highly recommend it. And currently I'm going through the book of Daniel at my Boolaroo Church.
Oh, very good.
And yeah, we're going through it chapter by chapter. And it's just wonderful to see these prophecies written some 2,500 years ago by the prophet Daniel coming to pass. And not just the prophecies, but the stories and the end time practical application of those stories. You know, Daniel in the lion's den, the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, they all link with the final events.
Absolutely.
And how we too, like Daniel and his three friends, how we too can put our faith and trust in Jesus and how we can be overcomers.
So true. We picked up a daily devotional from a little ministry booth, the Amazing Facts Oceana Ministry booth there at Big Camp. And it's a daily devotional, verse by verse, through the book of Daniel.
I did too.
You picked that up?
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, cool. And we picked up the one on Revelation.
We must work for the same radio show.
And so Justin
did you
and
pick
I
up the one on Revelation?
Yeah, we got them both.
Yeah, I had Revelation already, but yeah, I picked up Daniel. Aren't they really,
they're really,
really good?
Really good. Yeah, we just started reading ours together, and yeah, it was good.
Yeah, so folk, Amazing Facts, you can go to their online web store. And so they've got a lot of resources there, tons and tons of
great
resources.
Great sharing resources.
Excellent sharing resources, especially some of their like A4 size, those little magazines, you could call them, you know, an American Prophecy, the Final Events of Prophecy, one on creation. I've been reading one on creation in the evenings. And just really enjoying that. So just great material, great graphics, excellent information, solid scripture. We cannot recommend Amazing Facts materials enough.
Amen.
So, go to the Amazing Facts web store and you can order and it'll get delivered to your home.
And David Edgar has updated us on his family situation.
Fantastic.
He says, hi, Danny and Teresa. False alarm. Only Braxton Hicks still pregnant.
Oh, okay. So here I was sprouting
off. During the show. Maybe it'll happen.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I had a look at the text in the meantime that he sent me from last week. And he said, his daughter Jessica was due to deliver their third child and second granddaughter. So so we look forward to when that news will happen, and I'm sure David will be telling us. Now, by the way, I got a text message from our friend Sue who said, I'm listening as well. So big shout out to you, Sue. Sue's one of our
she was at Big Camp.
And did you notice she was wearing the Faith FM t-shirt?
I missed that. I'm sorry, Sue. I'm glad you pointed it out.
Yeah, she was wearing her Faith FM t-shirt. She wears that more often than not. So go, Sue. She's promoting Faith FM. She's a great witness.
Yes, she is.
And that's wonderful. Now, I probably just do need to mention before we move into current events, our special guest speaker. This is of interest to our Australian audience and those that are kind of a little bit older like me. Not so much like you, but there was Eric Walsh.
Yes.
Dr. Eric Walsh. His got a brother, a half brother called Courtney Walsh.
Really?
Now that probably means nothing to you.
Isn't he famous?
He's a famous cricketer, West Indies cricketer. He was the captain of the West Indies cricket team.
Wow.
And so he terrorized the Australian batsmen along with all of his buddies like Joel Garner, Malcolm Marshall, Michael Holding. So I'm really showing my age by quoting some of those names. But some of our listeners, they will recall some of those names. That was back in the day when the West Indies, or the Windies, as they are known, they were the best cricket team in the world.
So that's his brother.
Yeah, Courtney Walsh.
I just looked him up. I can see him.
Yeah, Courtney Walsh, big, tall fella.
That's cool.
And, he was just a mean, fast bowler. I mean, they just had a – it was like a battering ram.
What a gifted family.
Yeah, and and he's also got cousins that played in the NFL. He told us, you know, that's the National Football League in America. Mm. He also had some family that won a Grammy or an Emmy. Mm-hmm. And so he's got a lot of people, a lot of famous people in his family. And the one thing that he shared, and by the way, if you want to hear that interview, you can go to the Faith FM website, or better still, download the Faith FM app and go to the podcast section, and there you'll find the interview that, yeah, I was blessed to do with Dr. Eric from last Wednesday. So it's online right now, mm-hmm. and so you'll get a chance to hear a bit of his story, a bit of his spiritual journey. And the one thing that he shared was he shared the loneliness and, this search for meaning.
Yeah.
That many of these who's who in the entertainment industry, in the sporting industry that he has had an opportunity to rub shoulders with, to speak with, have this void that only Jesus can fill.
Yeah.
And his aim to seek to draw each one to Jesus, seek to point each person to Christ,
Amen.
Who alone will provide that satisfaction, that joy and that peace and that contentment. Mm-hmm. We talked about contentment.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, that's no one can satisfy us like God does.
No.
And God sees our dissatisfaction, our emptiness, and he comes to us as well.
And another really special time of Big Camp, before we press on, is the prayer time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Charissa led out in the prayer time. She's our prayer ministries coordinator here in the conference. And she led out, and that was very well attended.
You know, Justin kept record of the numbers.
Yep.
And I think we started, at 24 on day one. By the end of the week, we were over 50.
Wow, praise the
Lord. And that's the highest I've ever seen in a Big Camp time during my time in this conference. So that was really exciting. And you know what? By God's grace, it'll be more next year, because it didn't make the daily schedule in the camp booklet. So,
oh, wow.
So maybe if it was there, people would realize, oh, I should go to prayer meeting. But no, we praise God. And it was a special time.
There was a special time, and people, it was great. So, folk, if you've never been to Big Camp, I know I had one lady from my church at RTM, Kathleen, and she came for the first time, and she's like, wow, this, now I know why it's called Big Camp.
It is very big.
It's a big camp for us. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right, folk. Well, yes, where do we start? Where do we start, my friend?
I'm glad you had a program last week, basically, because if you didn't, we'd be backtracking a long way.
I know. Look, and there's just so much has been happening in the last, I guess 3 weeks since we were on air together here in this studio here in Lake Macquarie.
That's right.
So, there's a lot that's taken place, and there's so much. It's like a roller coaster. You know, I call it the Trump roller coaster. You know, Donald Trump with his posts and his
Someone
decision.
Someone needs to take his phone away at nighttime.
They do.
Lock it up in the early hours of the morning or something.
They do. Well, our friend Shell.
Yeah.
She was producing on the Wednesday, last Wednesday, when we had Eric. She was sharing with me his posts, like in real time, and it starts like in the evening, 8, 9 o'clock. All the way through till about 3:30 a.m.
Wow.
He was posting. And he posted this article on Biden twice, the same article twice. So he'd obviously forgotten that he posted it the first time.
I thought it was pretty good, though.
A few hours later, he reposts.
Oh, wow.
So, look.
Some people just don't need sleep.
Yeah, I know. He says,
I think we all need sleep.
But I don't know. I don't know, Charissa. This is an individual who's considered to be, you know, the most influential, you know, one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful individual on the planet, you know, single individual whose posts and tweets, you know, set stock markets either up or down.
True.
For him
wars
to be
start and stop.
Yeah, wars. I mean, for him to be posting, making decisions at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's a little scary.
It's very scary. And I mean, one of the scary things that he shared, which we didn't cover, we certainly didn't cover because this happened shortly after. You remember there was this deadline that he gave the Iranians that in 48 hours...
We were all watching to see what would happen.
Yeah, 48 hours, if they did not comply, if they didn't strike a deal, an acceptable deal to the Americans, that he was going to blow up the power plants and blow up all the bridges. Mm-hmm. And then he shared that most scary of all tweets that we have not seen anything like since World War II, when the atomic bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He shared that very shortly, a civilization will be destroyed.
Right.
I hope it doesn't happen, but it probably will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's 90 million people living in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Was he threatening a nuclear holocaust?
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel for those people. I pray for them because it would be very scary. I mean, their food is running out. Mm. Their supplies are running out, and they just want freedom.
Yeah, and I've been to Iran, and obviously your husband, you know,
he's
half his side is from Iran. It's his father, isn't it?
His father is Armenian from Iran, so they've got family over there.
Yeah,
in Tehran.
And I mean, I've been to Iran, 2019, beautiful people. There's a lot of Bible sites there in Iran.
Yes.
That's where Queen Esther, Daniel, Mordecai, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of history. That Persian history is very, very powerful. But as I was there in Iran, I realized these people are doing it tough. That was in 2019 because of all the sanctions. They've had serious sanctions. And now this war to boot. And so 4 million people have been displaced at least.
We have a little appreciation of that after being at Big Camp. I mean, I'm not the best of campers. But, you know, I was able to come home to my house after the camp.
To your bed.
Yeah, to my bed.
It was two weeks.
2 weeks. These poor people have no home.
Yeah.
They haven't got their securities, their basic needs met. It's very stressful for them.
It certainly is. So we need to keep them in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, speaking of, this war, you know, the latest obviously is that there's another ceasefire in place. He's extended this ceasefire.
But apparently
kind of
Iran
indefinitely.
Doesn't care about it.
Well, look, there's no trust. There is zero trust between Iran and the United States and Israel. You know what I mean? So in the context of that, I'm an optimist by nature, but I don't see this conflict coming to an end anytime soon. You know, these two sides, Israel and the US on one side and Iran on the other, they're on two completely different channels.
Mm-hmm.
The demands that they have are completely opposite. And so that being the case, you need compromise.
Right.
And compromise is anything but close.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's going to affect us, won't it?
Oh, absolutely.
It affects the whole world.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we will deal with some headlines from Australia very soon. And these are telling us that, Jesus' coming is drawing near.
Amen. Well, we're going to need to keep unpacking that in just a minute. Kayla Hopkins is going to bring to us a beautiful song, God's Grace, about God's grace. Your grace still amazes me. I love this song. Enjoy.
My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end. It overwhelms me. Presence, I stand in wonder once again. Your grace, it still amazes me. Your love,
To Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun.
Do you have a Bible question never quite had answered? I'm Lyle, and every Thursday at 5 p.m. I unpack the deep, meaningful, and sometimes tricky questions people send in. Whether you're searching for clarity, exploring a new topic, or just love learning alongside others, Question of the Day is for you. Send your questions anytime to 0488 808 56. And join me each Thursday at 5 p.m. as we dig into the Bible with the promise that no question goes unanswered.
Faith looks up.
And you're listening to the Looking Up show, and do we want to tell them the code word?
Yes,
now?
Indeed, all indeed, right, indeed.
So this is the code word for everybody to receive the little book by Ron Clouzet, Decoding Bible Prophecy. And as we said before, it's a great little resource to have.
Amen.
Either for you or a friend who may be interested in this subject. So the code word for today is, and I don't know how to do that, thank you. That was a drum roll in case anyone was wondering.
What that was.
The code word is?
LU26 code.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nice and easy.
Nice and easy. Text LU26 code, C-O-D-E, to 0488-17624 at any time during this program and even after it goes to air, and you will be able to receive this as a little gift from us to you.
And one of our listeners happens to be your dear husband.
Yes.
Justin, he's there in bed.
Sorry, love.
But he's got all the time.
He's picked up the bug from me.
He's got all the time in the world now to tune in.
That's
so,
right.
Hey, Justin, maybe you need to do this, brother, if you're listening right now. Sue, our friend Sue, she sent this to me yesterday, I think it was. No, she sent that to me today.
Uh-huh.
And I shared it with Charissa. And so this is for you as well, mate. This might work. So this is what Sue shares. She says she was coughing a lot, and to stop the cough, she cut up one onion, put it on the bottom of her sock, on the bottom of her foot. Then she put socks on. Then she slept, and overnight she woke up, threw the sock, threw the onion away, and there was no coughing.
Amazing.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Dr. Sue,
and maybe there's others out there who have some home remedies.
Oh, no, we're going to get flooded. We're going to get flooded, yes.
I'd be curious.
Definitely let us know. Justin will appreciate every little bit of help that he
Except
can get.
I have to apply it all when I get home.
Garlic. I go by garlic.
Do you?
Yeah, if I'm a little bit crook, that's the first thing that I go to.
Yeah.
I pour garlic on avocado and crackers, uh-huh. and I just load up and
Nature's antibiotic.
Absolutely. If I'm lucky, I sleep in the spare bedroom. If the garlic dose is too strong, then I'm in the garage. But my dog doesn't mind. My dog loves me, and this is the difference between humans and dogs, all right? My dog, I can stink, I can smell on garlic. Mm-hmm. In fact, I get home from bike riding, I'm all sweaty, or playing tennis, I'm all sweaty, just shocking, and none of my family want to come anywhere near me,
yeah.
And my dog loves me even more. She licks me.
Really?
Licks me to death. She
can smell?
I don't know what she can – well, she can obviously smell. Dogs are pretty amazing with their smell. But, I mean, you know, she just licks me to death while I'm sweaty and smelly.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're amazing.
Have I told you what someone told me about how do you know the difference between the love of your wife and the love of your dog? Have I told you that story?
Tell us.
Now, I didn't come up with this, folk. I did not come up with this, folk, but someone told me, and he said, Danny, you can do an experiment on who loves you more, your wife or your dog. Put them both in the boot of the car, and when you open the boot, see who is happy to see you. I haven't tried that experiment.
It's rigged.
Anyway, all right, now back to current events. So, we were talking about, you know, this roller coaster ride that the world is on.
Yeah.
That the world is on. And
he read the Bible today, by the way.
Who did?
Trump.
No way. Did he read the Bible?
Yeah, as part of America Reads the Bible thing. He read 2 Chronicles 7:14, that section.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was it.
Well, there you go. Well, Donald Trump, speaking of mixed messages, on Easter Sunday, I think he shared a message of hope with the Christian world, because Easter Sunday, and on the same day, I think in the same tweet, I can't remember, but he literally said that, you know, I think that's what made news.
Yes.
He literally swore at the Iranians.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, praise be to Allah.
Yes, I remember
at the end
that.
Of it. Like, this is, you can't make this stuff up, Charissa.
It was crazy.
You cannot make
unhinged.
This. Unhinged.
Unhinged.
Is an understatement. So this tells us that the most powerful nation on the planet, the one who is at the center of end time Bible prophecy, let's never forget, the United States is at the center of end time Bible prophecy. So it is no surprise to us that today the United States is at the center of world events and things that are taking place. All eyes today are on the United States like at no other time.
So true.
But certainly in living memory.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's focused on the US and what is taking place there and what comes out of the US and how the US is impacting you know, the world both economically, you know, there were the tariffs last year.
Yep.
Now the military and now, you know, the Strait of Hormuz, 20% of the world's oil, not to mention all the fertilizer, which we're going to get to in just a moment, not to mention medicines and so forth.
I haven't heard about that.
Then you've got the cultural aspect and so forth. Now let's just go to this is from Monday. Mm-hmm. And this was from the ABC telling us what we should know, that grocery prices are set to surge due to shortages caused by war in Iran. So, of course, everything is transported by truck,
mm-hmm.
and trucks run on diesel, and diesel has gone through the roof mm-hmm. in the last couple of months. And so, yeah, the price of fresh food, according to this article, is set to rise as the war in the Middle East continues to disrupt Australia's supply of fuel and fertilizer.
Mm.
And so we're going to be impacted. The West is going to be impacted. But guess who's going to be impacted the most?
Who?
The third world.
Yeah.
Asia, mm-hmm. Africa. They get a lot of their oil, their fertilizer in particular from, you know, from the Gulf.
Yeah.
So they're going to be, and they're already struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Like you and I, you know, we pay an extra dollar or so in petrol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most of us will be able to survive through that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the end of the world. But guess what? If you're in the Philippines or you're in Thailand, Cambodia, one of those African countries, you know, the price of petrol going up by even 10% is a huge hit, let alone 50% or doubling.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the reserves that we do. You know, they can't afford to have the reserves that we do. And they probably don't have, you know, the infrastructure to have the reserves that we do. We've got a month's worth of reserves. So,
yeah, that's fascinating. And Justin was sharing something. If he's listening, he can tell us maybe later. But there's the number of refineries that have been set on fire or had some attack on them this year. It's quite significant around the world. Like we've had the one in Geelong.
Oh, Geelong, yes, that's right, yes.
Set on fire. And then there was an explosion in a refinery in Texas. I'm looking here on something here. He had a whole list of them. It's just very interesting.
Very interesting timing.
A coordinated attack.
Very interesting timing. So it's not just in the Gulf.
Nope. Seems around the world. Russia as well.
Yeah. So, you know, the problem is we don't see an end in sight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there appears to be an end in sight, then people are optimistic that, you know, things will, you know, God willing, get back on track. And like with COVID.
Yeah.
With COVID, yes, we had the pandemic, but everybody knew that sooner or later it's going to taper off, because that's what happens with pandemics. You know, they get to a climax and then they taper off, which COVID did. But this time, it's not
there's
a virus.
There's a lot of external factors there's out a of our control.
Humans are involved.
That's right.
Humans are
Human
involved.
Will.
Human will. And when you've got two sides that just have zero trust, like I said, zero trust towards one another. Yeah, because this is existential for Iran. Let's never forget, for Iran, what is going on is existential. Either they get promise, like an ironclad promise from the United States that they will never, ever be attacked again
mm-hmm.
and that they will never, ever allow Israel to attack them again, that they will be completely safe forevermore. Unless they get their guarantee, they are not stopping. They are not putting up the white flag.
Mm-hmm.
So Donald Trump can do whatever he wants, but for them, this is existential. Like,
yep.
This is it. They're not going back to where things were mm-hmm. when they were negotiating the first time last year
mm-hmm.
and they were bombed during negotiations. Like, this is unprecedented.
Mm.
And then this year again, they're having negotiations in February, and in the middle of negotiations – when I think it was the Omani foreign minister or whatever, I can't remember, or anyway, someone, wherever they were having those negotiations, whoever was the mediator, literally came to the United States and said, things are going in the right direction. The very next day,
the war began.
The war began. The Ayatollah is taken out. I mean,
wow.
There is zero trust. And so unless Iran gets those ironclad guarantees, they are not backing down. And they have that straight. They've got a hostage over that strait. Well, you know,
mm-hmm.
and no one's going to be passing through there, even though there's a blockade on their ports. but we are in a state. We're in quicksand. We have not been in this kind of quicksand. The world has not been in this kind of economic quicksand. Certainly not in my lifetime that I can recall.
So from a Bible prophecy perspective, what should our listeners be looking for?
Okay. From a Bible prophecy perspective, if you go to Matthew 24, there Jesus says, in connection with those labor pains in verse 8, he says those labor pains will be escalating in several areas. So if you want to read verses 6 and 7, read verses 6 and 7.
The words of Jesus there in red, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places.
Okay, so here Jesus says before he returns, there will be wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation. Now that will intensify. The other thing is, there will be famines. What are we talking about here? Food shortages.
Yeah, true.
You know, fertilizer shortages. That's a food shortage. Pestilences or diseases. When you have a lack of food, when people do not have the necessary food, the necessary vitamins, minerals, and so forth, they are more susceptible to disease. Exactly. And so when you take a look at the Old Testament, especially if you go through the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is warning the children of Judah, Jerusalem in particular, is saying, if you don't submit to God, God will allow the Babylonians to come and they will besiege you and you're going to experience war, the sword, you're going to experience famine, and you're going to experience pestilence. So these three always go together, war, famine, and pestilence. And we have that right now. Okay. There's obviously more disease, and of course there's going to be more disease because in Iran, people are not able to access medical services, and wherever there is war, medical services are either destroyed or they're seriously impacted. People are injured without necessary medical attention. So can you see? You passed on the love bug to Justin and to Judah. People sadly pass on diseases to one another. So we have that. We also have in verse 4 and 5 what will be happening.
Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.
Okay, so there's going to be a lot of deception.
Right.
Confusion, deception.
False preachers.
False preachers, but also there's going to be a lot of confusion. And do we have confusion in the world today?
We do.
Absolutely. And then you throw AI in the mix.
Deepfake AI.
Absolutely. So we have a lot of that. So we've got confusion, we've got fear. We're worried about recession. I'm just looking at this article here from the ABC from last Friday. Consumers are cutting back on spending amid higher risk of global recession. So all these things are happening. But praise God for that statement, the end is not yet.
Yeah.
In Matthew 24:6, the end will not come until verse 14. Takes place.
And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
So what are we pointing people to when we go through these new headlines? What do these news headlines tell us?
That Jesus is coming soon.
Amen. And we need to get
the gospel that he's the only one who can save
Amen.
Us.
Amen. And the gospel is good news. The good news that Jesus came, he died on the cross, and he's coming back soon to take all those who have put their faith and trust in him and have accepted his gift of salvation.
Amen.
And that is the most important thing. That's why we call it the Looking Up Show. When you see all these things, Jesus said, lift up your heads, look up, because your redemption is drawing near.
Amen. Well, it's an appropriate song choice we have now. This is my Father's world. And what a relief to know that at the end of the day, no matter what happens in this crazy world, there is still a living God and he is in control.
Amen.
This is my Father's world. Sings and round me rings. let the earth be glad.
Doesn't give you a sense of peace. Wow. I don't know what will.
Beautiful song. I listened all the way through. Yeah. It's just beautiful.
This is my Father's world.
Amen.
And you're listening to The Looking Up Show in case you didn't remember that.
It is Charissa. It is Charissa. You can hear.
Tone lower. The code word for today, LU26 code. Because our giveaway is a little book by Ron Clouzet, Decoding Bible Prophecy. So text LU26 code through to 0488 176 24. There's an unlimited number today, so please take up the offer. I see someone already has, so that's great. And you had David. He says, "I'm sorry, Danny. That story about the dog and wife in boot made me laugh with tears."
Laughter is the best medicine, isn't it? Well, yep. It made your husband laugh as well. He sent us a message, which you probably saw on our little WhatsApp. And he said, "We need a dog." Don't try that, Justin. Hey, don't try that, mate. And he's looking forward to you cutting him up an onion so that he can put that on his foot and try out Sue's recipe.
Exciting.
He's going to be back to brand new tomorrow morning. I can just see it.
Can't wait. That'd be good.
Wow. So let's keep these folk in prayer, folk. There's a lot of attention, obviously, on Iran, but in Lebanon, there's a ceasefire currently there between Israel and Hezbollah. However, homes have been destroyed, bridges have been destroyed. 10% of Lebanon has been emptied of its population south of the Litani River, which is this buffer zone that Israel is trying to create, a bit like what they've done in Gaza. They've created a buffer zone there between Gaza and Israel. And so we've got 1 million people or more displaced in Lebanon.
Wow.
So you add that to the 4 million plus people in Iran.
This is
in less than 2 months. The city of Sydney has been emptied.
Mm. Wow.
That's putting it in perspective. Sydney is about 5 million people.
Yep.
So all of Sydney has been emptied out in 50 odd days since this war began, between Israel and Lebanon and Israel and America and Iran and a whole host of others. So this is telling us that, Jesus' coming is drawing near, because those labor pains, can only go so far, and God will one day intervene through the coming of Jesus. So, the gospel needs to go to the whole world. So you've got something that you want to read there, I can see.
Oh, I was just reminded, I'm reading, in my Bible reading, I've started through my Bible again, and I was just reminded reading through the story of Hagar. And just she, in her story where God met with her and he spoke with her in her time of need. It's an amazing how God appeared to her and spoke with her. Mm. And her child is the first child named by God in Scripture, Ishmael.
True. Yeah.
But what stood out to me is just she says that God is the God who sees me. Mm. That's what she says. And it's just when we're talking about all these people and their plight and all that, even our listeners, we don't know what you're going through, but God sees you. Mm, he knows, and he's there to help you too.
Amen. And an interesting little point on Hagar and Ishmael. Ishmael is considered to be, the father of the Arab people.
Right.
They're in the Middle East, so he's obviously a half-brother to Isaac. Mm-hmm. And so you've got these two lines. You've got Isaac and, the Jewish nation that stems from that. And then you've got, Ishmael and the people, or the Arabs or Islam, many see Islam, see the father or one of the originators all the way back to Ishmael.
Interesting.
So, Interesting, yeah. So, all right, now we're going to pivot. Like I'm telling you, we're living in strange and unusual times. One of the headlines...
Where are we going?
One of the headlines while we were away was in Connect... You know how Donald Trump's, been picking fights with everyone? You know, Greenland, Iran, Cuba, Venezuela, you name it. Now it's Trump versus the Pope.
Yes.
Did you hear about that?
Did I ever?
Did the world hear about
I
that?
I was like, what is going on here? What a twist.
So the Pope, the Pope called him out, and it's very, very rare for the popes to get involved in American politics. Mm-hmm. Very, very rare. Mm-hmm. But the Pope called out Donald Trump by name, and he encouraged him to focus on peace rather than war. Mm-hmm. And we know that our friend Donald Trump is very thin-skinned. Very, very thin-skinned. He can't deal with criticism no matter who it is, including the Pope. And so Donald Trump, he responded by saying that the Pope was weak on crime.
He was only elected because he was the president.
That's right. And that he doesn't really like the Pope.
That was an unbelievable text.
Yeah, it was just, and then he texted, but he also just shared it when a reporter was asking him in connection with that. And then shortly after the Pope had criticized him because of his war pursuit, he posted this AI image that went viral and got everyone cranky, including his buddies, including those that support him in the MAGA movement, many of them. Mm-hmm. Like, they were ropeable that he texted this AI-generated image of himself as Jesus Christ healing.
No, but he said he was just being a doctor.
A Red Cross doctor.
That's what he said.
I'm telling you, I've never seen a Red Cross doctor like that. Now, the guy is not that dumb. He's not that foolish to think that people would believe that.
Yeah.
That image, in case people haven't seen it by now, I'm sure most of our listeners have seen it, but it's a typical depiction of Jesus. It's dressed in the garb that Jesus is often portrayed, and he's got light coming out of his hand, and he's laying his hand there on the forehead of this individual. I haven't got the image here in front of me. I'm just sort of thinking of what that image is, and there's light and so on and so forth. And this is telling us that, some strange and unusual things are taking place. And so there was a lot of headlines in connection with, with that incident. Here was one from Sunday, 19th of April, ABC News. From celebration to calls of weakness, how Trump-Pope Leo relationship soured. So, this is what he texted on his Truth Social when Pope Leo was elected, in May of last year. What excitement and what a great honor for our country. I look forward to meeting Pope Leo the 14th. I'm not sure if he would retext that today, if he looks forward to meeting this Pope.
Yeah, well, so, what a fascinating exchange it was.
It was, yeah.
To see these two players and these people are holding placeholders in Bible prophecy too.
These two heavyweights in Revelation 13.
Interacting. what was interesting, we thought when we were watching one of the news coverages of the story, was you've got one news person, they put a video clip of Trump saying, they put a video clip of the Pope saying, look, we need to pursue peace, we need to care for the poor, and then it cuts to Trump. He's wrong. And it made the Pope look really good, the way they cut it all together. It was working in his favour, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, they did a poll not so long ago of the most influential leaders on the planet. Mm. And guess who came out on top?
Pope Francis.
Pope Leo.
I mean, Pope Leo.
Yeah, Pope Leo came out way on top.
Really?
Way on top. His popularity was compared to Donald Trump, of course, Putin, Xi Jinping, and a few others, his popularity was way up there. Now, there was this really interesting point here from The Spectator. So this is, a magazine or a newspaper. This is what it put out on April 16. Donald Trump's latest clash, let me read this to you. This is really interesting. Donald Trump's latest clash with the Catholic Church stunned even the most hardened veterans of culture war. According to the President of the United States, the Chicago-born Pope Leo XIV, the conspicuously holy spiritual leader of 1.3 billion people, is weak on crime and terrible on foreign policy. And like you said, he said, if I wasn't in the White House, Leo wouldn't be in the Vatican. Mm-hmm. But then this really interesting point, and listen to this from the article. Trump's rhetoric may have been mild in comparison, but the fact remains that not once in the 250-year history of the United States has a commander-in-chief launched a personal attack on the Supreme Pontiff. So they're saying this is kind of unprecedented. Mm-hmm. In 250 years, we've never had this kind of attack upon a Roman pontiff by a president.
Wow.
So, you know, we'll see.
Watch this space.
We'll see when this But Revelation 13 tells us something very interesting. If you want to go to Revelation 13, and, you know, this chapter deals with that end time scenario where the United States or Protestantism in the United States will give its authority and power to the beast, to the Roman papacy, and will erect this image to the beast or image of the beast, which is this church-state union, which we're going to look at as well. If you want to take a look at Revelation 13 and verse 3 and 4.
And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
So who
this
is the
sea beast?
This is the sea beast. This is the Roman papacy.
Right.
So this is speaking of a time when this mortal wound will be completely 100% healed and the entire world will follow after the beast.
So you think we're watching the final healing?
We could be.
With scars
we
disappearing.
Could be. What if this situation in the Middle East escalates further, that we get into some kind of world recession or depression, that things escalate beyond what we can think or imagine.
And the Pope comes up with
and the
solution.
Pope steps in with the peace settlement, bringing Islam, Shia Islam, which is, you know, the more radical side of Islam as it is viewed by many.
Right.
And Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, because guess what? The economy is impacting every world religion.
Yeah.
India, you know. Hindus, 900 odd million Hindus, you know, Muslims throughout Asia, the Middle East, North Africa, they're all being impacted. What if the Pope steps in to create world peace?
Yeah, and it wouldn't be so much of a hop, skip, and a jump for the U.S. to give support, seeing his from the U.S., even though the Pope, even though Trump says he prefers the Pope's brother.
Yeah, Trump can say all sorts of things, and no one takes him too seriously because one day he's being taco, you know, Trump always chickens out. Mm-hmm. Another day he's saying he's going to bomb this, he's going to bomb that, he's going to wipe this out.
But you never know when he's actually going to follow through.
You don't know. So are people going to put their faith and trust in Donald Trump?
Someone who's all over the place.
Exactly. Or someone who is steady and consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who is seen as the moral authority in the world. So we're going to watch and see how all this takes place.
Amazing.
But what we also do have is this union of church and state coming to the fore more and more in the United States of America. So there was... I don't know what you're going to say, but the Religious Liberty Commission held its final hearing on the past, present, and future of religious liberty in America. I'm just looking at their DOJ or Department of Justice website here, where they have their press release. And you've got to share this was I think your post that you shared, or was it Rochelle's post?
Could be Rochelle.
In connection with what the chairman of the Religious Liberty Commission had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you have it there. I need to pull it up here. Here it is. I've got it here. And this was shared by the chairman of the Religious Liberty Commission, whose name is Dan Patrick. Mm-hmm. This is the commission where Dr. Ben Carson is the deputy. And this is what he had to share. He says, today, the Religious Liberty Commission held its final hearing to discuss the past, present, and future of religious liberty in America. Today's capstone hearing of President Trump's Religious Liberty Commission contained more powerful testimony and discussion about how people of religion are under assault by the secular left. And that's true, said the chairman, Dan Patrick. And then this is what he says. Dan Patrick says, it is time to set the record straight. There is no such thing as a separation of church and state in the Constitution.
Now, how is that possible? Because it's there.
It's there in principle. Absolutely. 100%.
That the founders wrote to each other. And
it's the bedrock.
Ellen White in the book, The Great Controversy, say this is going to be something.
Absolutely. It does say that.
Yeah, wow.
It does say that. And we're going to get to that statement in a little bit, but we are coming up to a song, aren't we?
We certainly are. Guy Penrod is going to bring to us another one of those peaceful, powerful hymns. He hideth my soul. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this. Enjoy.
My Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as of the sky.
I'm Rochelle, and you can join me every Thursday afternoon on Faith FM for the Book Nook. We'll discover great books, chat with inspiring authors, and enjoy great music and giveaways. We'll also be joined by Lyle Southwell each week for Question of the Day, where you'll get answers to your Bible questions. There's no question too big, too small, or too strange. So text in on 0488 80856. Tune in live to the Book Nook with Rochelle each Thursday from 3:30 p.m. New South Wales time.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
That's right, and this is the Looking Up Show, and we're having a lot of interaction here. I'll have to share with you some of the comments that have come through, but a reminder, the code word for today, LU26, code. That's the code word, LU26 code, C-O-D-E. Text that through to 0488 17624, and you will be a recipient of this beautiful little book, Decoding Bible Prophecy by Ron Cluzet. And then we have these comments that have come through again from David. So, Danny, would Abraham have circumcised both Ishmael and Isaac, being both his sons? That's a question.
I think so.
Well, I was wondering, because I was looking and it says in chapter 16, Sarah sends Hagar away.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she's no longer part of the family mm-hmm. unit there with Abraham. And then in chapter 17, God gives to Abraham the sign of the covenant.
So, okay, so probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not, no.
Yeah. Then this one is Elsie. I pray Justin, Sharissa, and Judah get well soon. Thank you. She says she's enjoying the show and all the humor, especially the ribbing of poor Justin. Ha ha.
We couldn't do it to a nicer bloke. Now, by the way, you are sounding better.
You think
since
so?
Since the show started. You are. And
it's going up a notch, is it?
Minus the onion, you're doing so much better. I think it's being
water
on the show.
From my presidential bottle.
So there you go, Justin. She's doing better on the Looking Up Show. So we need to keep you here for as long as possible.
And Jan says, hi, Danny and Charissa. Trump is going to build an ark called the Arc de Trump. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't, but nothing surprises me anymore.
It's at the top of it will be one nation under God. I sent the Guardian article to Rochelle a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
This is from Jan. Yeah, an arch, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to have to look into that. Yeah, the Trump arch.
I have seen something like that.
Yeah, well, May 17 is coming up. That's when Donald Trump said at that religious liberty breakfast or whatever it was that he attended, that, you know, that was the day, it's a Sunday, mm-hmm. that America will be rededicated back to God.
Yeah.
May 17, and that's coming up very, very, very quickly.
Right, and I mentioned to you before that Trump was reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually part of a Bible reading marathon that's happening mm-hmm. in America right now, where they're reading the Bible through as part of a preparation for this big event.
Is that right, May 17th?
Yeah, and that's why he was reading his part, Second Chronicles, tonight and Tuesday there.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Interesting.
Any other comments?
That's it.
All right. So I found that statement from Great Controversy that you alluded to, which we're going to get to.
Yeah.
But I just want to read the rest of this statement from, who was it? Chairman Dan Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this is what it says. So I'll repeat what he started off by saying. It is time to set the record straight. There is no such thing as separation of church and state in the Constitution. The principle is certainly there, but he goes on. For too long, the anti-God left has used this phrase to suppress people of religion in our country. Okay, and it's true. People of religion have been suppressed by the religious left. This is how the enemy works, okay?
Right.
The left versus the right in order to create that final push where it brings both the left and the right together. You know, it's this
the perfect storm.
The antithesis, how does it go? Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's a good one.
Thesis, antithesis, then synthesis.
Right.
And it's how the enemy works, the left and the right. He goes on. During all seven commission hearings, and this was the final one, before they need to give their report on the birthday of the US on mm-hmm. July 4, During all seven commission hearings, witness after witness testified that the so-called separation of church and state was used to take their God-given religious liberty rights away. So can you see that this is a reaction? Mm. This is a reaction. And there were many voices on this religious liberty commission, including the testimony of one lady here. Her name is Helen Alvarez, mm-hmm. and she is a professor of law at a university. She's a member of the Church of Rome. She's taught in the Catholic University of America and so forth. Anyway, this is what she said. She said in her testimony, religions can be among the government's greatest partners and allies in fostering the ideals and values that our public institutions, including public schools, hope to instill.
Mm-hmm.
She went on, we need to get rid of the fear and neuralgia about keeping religion out, but that has to begin at the very early stage, I think, and schools are a good place to do it. Now, this is interesting because in Ellen White's time, when there was a push for the Sunday law in America back in the 1880s, guess who was at the forefront? It was schools and government.
Really?
Bringing God back into the classroom, into the public schools in the 1880s. That was part of bringing morality back to the position that it needed to be. And that was also the push for Sunday laws. Do we have commandments in schools today?
We do.
The Bible reading in schools.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We have it across the nation.
Government funding for schools. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We've got all this happening right now. She's saying that this is where it needs to begin, in the school system. And then it moves on. And then she goes on and she said this. Listen to this. She says, the witness we are seeking to preserve is beautiful and good for the common good.
Mm.
So for the common good, you know, how governments and the church can work together in order to bring about, you know, the common good. And
right.
this is what Ellen White actually did say in connection with that. This is back in the 1880s, and this is from Testimonies, Volume 9, page 51. She says, in our own country, there is much to be done. There are many cities to be entered and warned. So she's talking about, you know, this message that needs to be getting out there. She says, evangelists should be finding their way into all the places where the minds of men are agitated over the question of Sunday legislation and the teaching of religion in the public schools.
She says that?
Yes,
that's in the Great Controversy?
No, it's not in the Great Controversy. That's in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 9, page 51.
That's a good testimony.
Absolutely, absolutely. So so she connected these two in her day, and these two are connecting today.
Wow.
This is not a coincidence. Incredible.
In Bible prophecy, the separation of church and state is right there, isn't it?
Absolutely.
In the text, it's in verse 11.
Yes.
It says, we're speaking of the earth beast, which we understand to be the United States.
Yes.
Coming up out of the earth, he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Two horns. I was just thinking, this might be a really crazy. Maybe you can tell me if it's not right.
It's not going to be crazy. Because from me, it'll definitely be crazy,
I just had this thought because I was visualizing this. Because the separation, that's the separation. Those two powers are separated.
Mm-hmm.
If they're saying there's no separation, you have a little horn.
Oh, folk, you heard it for the first time here on the Looking Up Show. And that is true.
And that's the beginning of
that is so powerful.
The replica of...
Where did you find this woman, Justin? Man alive, you found the pearl of wisdom, or the wisdom pearl, I don't know. That's a really good point.
If
church and state are united, it's the little horn power. And guess who the little horn power represents? The Roman papacy. And in the Roman papacy, you have church and state united.
Right.
The church of Rome is both a religious and a political power. That's why it's called a religio-political power.
Mm-hmm.
And on its flag, if you take a look at the flag of the Vatican, okay, so you've got the Holy See, which is the political arm of the church, and you've got the Vatican, which is the church arm. And so the Pope is both the spiritual leader as well as the
political
leader, because the Vatican is both a church and a state.
Yeah.
Wow. What a great insight. What a great insight. Now, in connection with this foundational principle of the United States, which is the separation of church and state, and what will one day take place. We are literally seeing this happening before our very eyes. They're literally telling us. I mean,
you don't have to look too hard.
You don't. The guy is heading up the Religious Liberty Commission. What was his name? Dan Patrick. Mm-hmm. He is in charge of the Religious Liberty Commission that Donald Trump established,
mm-hmm.
okay, that is supposed to provide religious liberty for all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling you that the separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. There is no such thing. Right?
Wow.
So we've got to remember who this guy is. This is not just some...
So they're literally advocating for something that looks like the little horn.
Power. Absolutely. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%. You can't read that any other way. All right. So now back to what Ellen White had to say in connection with this. And this is in the great controversy. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to this. These two statements are from page 588 in that chapter entitled The Impending Conflict, which is chapter 36. All right, so this is what she said. The Protestant churches will unite with the papal power. We've just read about that in our headline. Then the Protestant churches of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. So spiritualism's going to be very much the glue that brings everyone together. And we've talked about the supernatural. That's permeated every aspect of our culture.
Mm.
They will reach over the abyss to grasp hands with the Roman power, and under the influence of this threefold union, which is what? Protestantism.
Apostate Protestant.
Apostate Protestantism, the Roman papacy, and spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
Upon the influence of this threefold union, this country, speaking of the United States of America, will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience.
Protestantism, what was it? Spiritualism and...
The Church of Rome.
Mm.
The Church of Rome. So these three, the Roman power, as she refers to it. Now listen to this also from page 588, Great Controversy. When Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of Roman power. So this is a slightly different version. This might be the 1888 version.
Mm-hmm.
When under the influence of this union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government. That's what you were talking about, those two horns.
Yep.
Then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan.
All right, so spiritualism is ready to... It's put on its display.
So spiritualism
glue everything together.
Exactly. So spiritualism is that super glue that will unite everything together. So we've at the moment. So if you want to be thinking about this, we've got all the foundation. We've got all the pieces in place.
Yep. Just got to glue them together.
We just need the fuel, and the fuel and the glue is spiritualism.
Mm.
And so. The supernatural. And you think of a better time for the enemy to roll out the supernatural than when this war is in the thick of chaos and confusion.
And the whole world is being affected.
Absolutely. And then you come along with a spiritual solution through our friend Pope, Leo, or whoever it may be at the time, and bring the whole world together through the power of spiritualism. And that's where that one day will be set aside. Sunday, I believe, will be set aside as a day of peace and safety.
Wow.
When they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction. And away we go. So all this is happening and so much more, folk. We are watching the news headlines. And so this tells us we are on the right path, and this tells us that Jesus is coming soon, and we have a message to share, Charissa.
Amen.
We've got an important message to share, the most important. And I want to encourage people to read The Great Controversy.
Yes.
Get that book. We're going to get into our Bible study and unpack this chapter, this 10th chapter of The Great Controversy. But this is a book you want to read, listen to, and, just take it in. It will just open your eyes. It'll give you a deeper faith and a deeper love for Jesus and a deeper desire to want to share.
It really helps answer some of the biggest questions people have
absolutely.
Right now, like how did we get here?
Yeah.
And where are we going?
Absolutely.
And what's going on right now?
Absolutely.
And how can I be ready?
Yeah, it's a great book. It's a great book. All right. So we've only got about a minute left before we have our next song. So maybe we can have a prayer.
Okay.
And, why don't you have a prayer for us? And then we'll
start.
Yeah.
Father in heaven, we are grateful for this time that we have to discuss this book, an amazing book, The Great Controversy. Thank you, Lord, for inspiring Ellen White to write these words. And we pray that as we reflect on the history that is recounted to us, that you would inspire us to faithfulness to Jesus and his word. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we should remind everyone that if they'd like a copy, they simply have to text in GC.
Indeed.
To 0488 17624, and you get a free copy coming to you of this book that we're reading through.
Indeed, indeed. And just as an intro before we plunge into it, because we don't have time to really plunge into it, but I do want to let people know, once again, this book, you were not supposed to read it. The devil did not want you to read it. He tried to destroy the life of the author Ellen White before she wrote a single word. God preserved her life so that you and I can read this book. So that's how important this book is.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So I think we are up to that song, my friend.
All right. Yeah, you are right. Let's listen. Malita Fong, my sister. This is a good one. He's alive. Enjoy.
The gates and doors are barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they'd moved him in the night. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. So we both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped them in was just an empty shell. And how aware they'd taken him was more than I could. Something strange had happened there, just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, all the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees, just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Thank you.
everyone. You're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
Faith looks up.
Did you enjoy that song, Danny?
It was a beautiful song. It was going through the whole story.
Yeah, it was
of
exciting.
Jesus alive, the resurrection. Yeah. Powerful stuff.
Very, very powerful. Well, our listeners are excited to be finally up to this part where we go through the great controversy, I'm sure. So let's go, shall we?
Yes, indeed. Well, we're going to continue this journey. We left Martin Luther in chapter 8, the Diet of Worms, and he was mysteriously taken away
for his own safety.
For his own safety. Yeah. And yeah, maybe you want to read that first paragraph, because that kind of sets up this chapter, chapter 10, yeah.
Yeah. It says, Luther's mysterious disappearance excited consternation throughout all Germany. I'm reading from chapter 10. Inquiries concerning him were heard everywhere. The wildest rumors were circulated, and many believed that he had been murdered. There was great lamentation not only by his avowed friends, but by thousands who had not openly taken their stand with the Reformation. Many bound themselves by a solemn oath to avenge his death.
So there was quite a stir, wasn't there?
Absolutely.
And it was sometime later when the word came forth that, no, he hadn't died, you know, he wasn't killed or anything like that, that he was safe and secure in a place where, you know, he was hidden for his own safety.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what aspects you wanted to tap into, but, yeah.
Well, I've highlighted different things. You might want to stop me if you have something you want to add in here. But basically, his absence, I'm reading another page here from another thing, the seed which Luther had sown sprung up everywhere. His absence accomplished a work which his presence would have failed to do. Isn't that interesting? Mm. So other people step forward to also carry on the work that he had started. And then she says, the author, she says, but Satan was not idle.
Mm, I highlighted that. Can you see that? I highlighted that, he was not, and he's never idle. Satan's never idle when he sees God's work progressing.
That's right.
Moving forward.
He knows his time is short.
So what did he do?
Well, he worked, and she says he is specifically now to deceive and destroy the people by palming off upon them a counterfeit in place of the true work.
Mm. So the true work of Reformation, that righteousness by faith message that Luther was sharing, preaching, writing about, the enemy had a counterfeit.
And we talked about there being false Christs, you know, Jesus talking about
Matthew
that.
Matthew 24.
And she says here, as there were false Christs in the first century of the Christian church, so there arose false prophets in the 16th century. And you've got these people that rose up and they had a great zeal, but they weren't really following biblical principle. They were really fueled by a lot of feeling.
Yeah. They went on feelings and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, you know, just in the next paragraph, she says here, these individuals, these extremists, we would call them, these religious extremists. And that's how the enemy works. He works through extremes, one extreme or the other.
He can get you in a ditch.
Yep, and that's what we talked about earlier, you know, the left and the right, the extreme left, the extreme right, and he doesn't mind which cliff you go off. And here she writes, these extremists, they rejected the great principle, which was the very foundation of the Reformation, that the Word of God is the all-sufficient rule of faith and practice, and for that unerring guide, they substituted the changeable, uncertain standard of their own feelings and impressions, which is what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the Word of God was set aside, and these individuals felt like they were at liberty, you know, in the Spirit. They were in the Spirit doing according to how they believe the Spirit moved them.
And that's exactly where Satan likes us to be, because if we put aside, as she calls it, the great detector of error and falsehood, then the way is open for Satan to control minds as best pleases him.
And that's what we have happening today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never been any different. You think about, I've just got this thought, you know, you had that amazing thought before about those two horns coming together, creating one little horn or one big horn.
Mm.
But you think of how the enemy worked at the very beginning of time to deceive. you know, Eve.
Yeah.
God gave her very clear instructions, and she knew the word of God. She didn't have a memory lapse. She knew the word of God, even though she
would have had a perfect memory.
She would have had a perfect memory, even though she added to the word of God in her response to the devil when the serpent said, "Did God say, you know, that you shall not eat of all the trees of the garden?"
Mm.
You know, she says, "Well, you know, we were told that, you know, we cannot, we can eat of all the trees, but of this tree we cannot not eat of it or even touch it." So she was adding to the word of God. But the point is here, Eve fell. Eve succumbed to Satan's temptation. Eve was deceived because she moved away from the clear word of God.
Right.
Whereas Jesus in the wilderness, when he was tempted, he
clung to that word.
Exactly. Jesus was
lived
tempted
by every word.
Amen. Amen. And that's what he said in that first temptation. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word.
Mm.
So Jesus did not want to put his faith and trust in his feelings. Mm-hmm. That's what the enemy wanted to do. Put your faith and trust in your feelings. You've been fasting for 40 days. He would have been on the verge of death.
Mm-hmm.
Emancipated. Is that how you say that word?
Yep.
He was on the verge.
Emaciated.
That's the word.
Emancipated. Didn't
I think it's where you've been set free as a slave.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
He came to emancipate us though.
He did indeed. Oh, thank you for bailing me out. So Jesus didn't go with his feelings. He didn't go with what he looked like on the outside. He went with the word of God.
Mm.
And so, yeah, so that was one of the really key things that I picked up from this chapter. And it's interesting because in that central chapter of that end time conflict, chapter 37, the scriptures, a safeguard.
Mm-hmm.
So in that end time conflict, Ellen White, under inspiration, penned that chapter, chapter 37, the scriptures escape safeguard. So in the end times, we're living in the end times.
Amen.
Our only safeguard is the word of God, our only safeguard.
So that's a great point. You know, just reflecting how these new teachers step forward, they put aside the Bible, and the fruit of their teaching, she says, was that people were led to neglect the Bible or cast it aside completely. Mm.
People even burned the Bible, I read.
Yeah,
they
really
were even burning the Bible. Oh, can you believe it?
Wow!
You know this book that you know, people had given their lives for, their blood for, and now they felt at liberty to burn the Word of God because they had a higher authority.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit was leading. This supposed Spirit of God was leading them, which is, of course, is the false spirit.
Right?
Because God never ever leads us contrary to His Word. He never does that.
And His Spirit, the true Spirit, will lead us in accordance with His word.
Into all truth.
And that's actually what she says here too. She says it was the Spirit of God that had carried him beyond himself in the work. And when he met hard times, it says, she writes, he wrestled with God in prayer.
Yes, this is Martin Luther speaking.
Yes, sorry, thank you. And peace would flow into his heart. So he recognized that what God had done in his life, there was no sword that could further his cause.
Mm.
It was God alone must do everything, and without the help or concurrence of man, he who has the greatest faith is he who is most able to protect.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting that these individuals, we're going to discover Martin Luther.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther makes his way to Wittenberg,
mm-hmm.
eventually from the Wartburg Castle where he's been in hiding. But before he gets there, these leaders of this false movement, this false revival, you could call it, you know, this false reformation movement, which we have happening in America right now, this false revival, this false reformation, you've got them coming to Melanchthon and, you know, who was a co-laborer with Luther. And they said to him, listen to this, we are sent by God. You know, one of these prophets claimed to have been instructed by the angel Gabriel, no less.
Mm-hmm.
We have been sent by God to instruct the people. We have held familiar conversations with the Lord. We know what will happen. In a word, we are apostles and prophets and appeal to Dr. Luther. So they had a message supposedly from God.
Mm-hmm.
So these evil spirits may have been communicating to them.
Right.
And in the end, in the end, will evil spirits be communicating with religious leaders, especially mm-hmm. Protestant leaders who are willing to listen to these evil spirits that are speaking not in line with scripture, but are speaking that which is in line with the voice of the dragon. This is when that lamb-like beast becomes or speaks like a dragon.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know if there's any more you want to pick up before I touch on Thomas Munzer.
Thomas Munzer, yeah, he was interesting. Well, I thought probably just Luther.
Yes.
Luther was very distraught by what he was what was taking place. And I've here highlighted one statement from him. He says, "I always expected that Satan would send us this plague."
Mm.
He referred to it as a plague. And so, yeah, you know, he was very distraught by what was taking place. And he obviously, you know, went back to Wittenberg at the peril of his life, but in order to confront this heresy that was rising. So, yeah.
And the result of that heresy was violence as well.
It was, yeah, a lot of violence, yeah. They were destroying images in churches. Destroying the sacramental images and so forth, which a lot of things Luther didn't, you know, he didn't uphold, but he said violence is not the way forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your theology actually is very important, isn't it? Because if you get the wrong theology, you could go and do violence to someone.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, this Thomas Munzer guy was a fanatic who was very influential. And writing of his character, some historian wrote, "He was possessed with the desire of reforming the world and forgot, as all enthusiasts do, that the Reformation should begin with himself." I thought that was well put.
That is a really good point.
Anyway, Munzer's revolutionary teaching, she said, claiming divine sanction, led people to break away from all control and give the rein to their prejudices and passions. The most terrible scenes of sedition and strife followed, and the fields of Germany were drenched with blood.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible, terrible, terrible. Once again, the extremes. We see that in the French Revolution, you know, the extremes. We're seeing that today between the left and the right in the United States. We read about that earlier. Satan finds fertile ground when we go to extremes. And it's very easy for us today to go to extremes, whether it's Bible prophecy, you know, to say, oh, this is that. No, we're not in a position, and God hasn't given us the right to make all kinds of predictions and to try and find things in Bible prophecy that are not there. God has given us the big picture.
Yeah.
But if we start venturing away from what God has revealed clearly, then we can move into extremes, fanaticism. And you know what that does?
Mm.
When it comes to Bible prophecy especially, people lose trust in the Word of God and they lose trust in prophecy. When people make claims and they set dates, which, as you know, individuals have set dates for various things and they don't come to pass or make predictions. And so that really negates, you know, the certainty of God's word and the certainty of Bible prophecy as we ought to know and understand it. So, yeah, it takes away from the impact and the effectiveness of it.
Totally. Where shall we go from here?
Well, I just think it was really bold for Martin Luther to come back to Wittenberg, and he preached and he taught and there was a revival.
He translated the Bible.
He translated the Bible while he was there in Wartburg, New Testament into German.
Mm-hmm. And they were so excited by the New Testament, he was inspired to go ahead and start on the Old Testament. I was thinking about this as I was reading it and thinking how much work that would have taken for him. And here we are today with an AI world. It can all be done, you know, translations can't be put together in the click of a button, but he would have labored long and hard, and praise God for people like him who were burdened with this desire to help people read God's word.
Absolutely. And so that was a great blessing of his time away there at the Wartburg Castle. Yeah, God used that time because he could not be idle, and so he translated the Bible. And in the end, you know, his aim was for children, for the uneducated, for them to be able to understand and share the Word of God even more forcefully than, you know, the religious prelates and priests and so forth of the time.
Yes.
So that was so wonderful. And, you know, this is a lesson. When persecution comes or when fanaticism comes, God will always have his lights shining.
Mm-hmm.
He will always have a witness.
Amen.
And in the end, God will continue to have a witness as this world spirals into darkness and there's so much confusion. God will have a witness. He will have a people.
He will. And by God's grace, we can be part
Amen.
Of it.
Our
listeners, you can be part of God's people too. Let's listen to this song, Elijah's Song, and then we'll wrap up this reflection with a few summative thoughts. So Elijah's Song, I believe Kate Garriga wrote this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a personal original.
Of Elijah were calloused and worn. He knelt before God, so with man he stood tall, obedient to the voice of the Lord. He told King Ahab the rain wouldn't fall.
Tune us into your spirit, tune us into your call. Fill us with courage so mountains look small. Rain has been promised, is ready to fall. More of your spirit, more of you, Lord. More of your spirit, more of you, Lord.
Some trust in idols while I trust in God. Baal must be sleeping while God brings the fire. Consuming the water, the dust and the stones. It's safe to say he's the one on the throne.
Burn it out by your spirit, burn it out by your power. All of our sins, our mistakes and our doubts. Rain clouds are here, it's about to pour down. More of your spirit, more of your power. More of your spirit, more of your power.
The son of a widow lay cold on the bed. Elijah stretched out and prayed over again. God woke him up on the final amen. So I'll ask my father.
Spirit, wake us up by your love. We are alive by the gift of your Son. Rain is ahead, the revival has come. More of your spirit, more of your love. More of your spirit, more of your love.
Even the darkest of caves, you are there. Your still small voice speaks with reason and care. 7,000 remain faithful to you, strengthened by promise, standing in truth.
Light us up by your spirit, light us up by your grace. Come, let your character light up our faces. Raindrops are falling all over the place. More of your spirit, more of your grace. More of your spirit, more of your grace.
Building the altars again. First, so your spirit can reign. Just like Elijah, we're calling the world to your holy name. To your holy.
Build us up for your call, back to the altar.
was beautiful. That was by Kate Garriga, Elijah's Song. And that brings us to the end of our broadcast for the Looking Up show
today. Can't believe it. Can't believe it. And do you know what? You are sounding back to 100% almost, I would say.
Oh, I don't know about 100%.
99.8.
Praise the Lord.
There you go.
Yeah. How would you summarize our chapter?
Well, the power of God's word, you know, and, you know, I think of that scripture, the Apostle Paul writes, where sin abounds, God's grace abounds even more. So even though the enemy through these extremists sought to destroy the work of the Reformation, Luther wasn't there and they were running amok, God ensured that the truth would be shared. So while they were running amok, Martin Luther was there in the castle of Wartburg translating the Bible into the New Testament into German. And then when that made its way into the hands of the people, that flame of the Reformation went even further than it did when Martin Luther was there preaching, you know, before the Diet of Worms. And so it's just incredible. And, you know, just to see how God has an answer. The enemy throws whatever he can. And in the end, we know that the enemy is going to throw everything he can at the work of God and the people of God, because he's only got a short time, the Bible says.
Yes.
In Revelation 12. But God has the final word.
Amen.
And his people will be victorious. So I just want to read a couple of things here, sort of in closing here from this chapter. It says here, you know, the priests were alarmed at the thought that the common people would now be able to discuss with them the precepts of God's word and that their own ignorance would be exposed.
Yeah.
And then it goes on, all who could read were eager to study the word of God for themselves. They carried it about with them and read and reread and could not be satisfied until they had committed large portions to memory.
Yes.
You know, and then she says, laborers, soldiers, women, and even children. Were better acquainted with the Bible teachings than were the priests and learned doctors. And even though the church, sadly, the Church of Rome, you know, did all it possibly could to destroy this newfound love, interest, and opportunity to read the Word of God through, you know, civil penalties, you know, many of them were tortured, many of them sealed their faith with blood, yet the work went forward. And she says here right at the end, she says, and yet the work went on. Persecution served only to extend the truth, and the fanaticism which Satan endeavored to unite with it resulted in making more clear the contrast between the work of Satan and the work of God. So, you know, just beautiful to see how God worked the whole situation through. So God can work your situation through.
Amen.
No matter what you're in, just hold on to him. Hold on to his word. He will work it out for you one way or another.
Amen. She quotes one text that I think also just completes what you just said. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words gives light.
Amen.
It gives understanding to the simple. And that was what the people were experiencing, the light of God's truth. And as you said, we can experience that light for ourselves as we take God's word, follow it, read it, study it, and embrace
it. Amen. Amen.
Well, do you want to close in prayer today?
Have we come to the end already?
We have.
Okay, let's have a prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you again for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word, the sure word of prophecy, Lord, that tells us that we're on the right path, we have hope, we have Jesus, and if we have Jesus, we have everything. And as we near the closing scenes of Earth's history, use us, Lord, to be lights, to lighten up the road for those that are on the path, that they too may be part of your kingdom. So bless us until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to your company same time next week. And remember, as we part, regret looks back, fear looks around, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up, and may God bless you.
Keep looking up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up, should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your cares he will cast into
the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts, faith in the promise of His Word. We believe the time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord.